This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. It's very good to have you with us here on the William Hill Golf Podcast with Dave Kellum and Mike Grenham talking you through the two tournaments this week. Just about catching my breath after Sunday evening's final round of the PGA Championship at Valhalla. Rory McIlroy with a scintillating back nine 32 to win by one from Phil Mickelson. Congratulations to not only Rory McIlroy, but the man sitting next to me as well. Mike, you were very keen on McIlroy to win that major championship, and two major championships this season for the Northern Irishman now, and it was something special on Sunday night.
Yes, it was, Dave. I was fairly strong on him last week on the podcast. I know it's not the most imaginative or dark horse tip of all time, is it? Let's be clear on that. So we won't dwell on the pick too much, other than to say he's just that little bit better than everyone else at the moment. When he's at his best, the others are chasing, I think. And that is reminiscent of Tiger at his best. But I don't think he's as good as Tiger was at his best yet. He doesn't have quite the fear factor of Tiger yet. Maybe another year or two. But he's certainly cracking on well enough with four major victories to his name now by the age of 24, 25, whatever he is.
25.
Gives him a great chance of elevating himself to the top tier alongside Tiger and Nicholas. I think he'll get there. I think he'll win more than nine majors. I think he'll win double figure majors, do you?
I agree, yeah, wholeheartedly. I think it could be, for the first time, I was beginning to believe on Sunday evening after that PGA Championship win, first time he's really been tested in one of his major championship wins, that his era of dominance could begin right now. I'm looking forward to the Masters in April already, and I enjoyed Sunday night because it reaffirmed my opinion that I'm doing the right thing by spending hours and hours of my free time watching uninterrupted golf coverage, because it was
good.
It was one of the best majors in a long time in terms of excitement. I loved the way he responded, McIlroy. He was three down at the turn. Admittedly, got a little bit fortunate with his second shot into 10, that long three wood.
Why does everyone say that? I didn't see enough analysis of that. And what was the theory, that he didn't hit it quite as he meant to? I've seen a lot of people say that.
He said that as well. He said that in his
post-round
conference. He said that he hit it 30 feet lower. The ball flight was 30 feet lower than he wanted.
Oh, really?
And he started 15 yards left of where he wanted as well.
Then he was lucky, because that was what changed the whole event, wasn't it, that shot?
I think so, yeah. He said that his birdie on 7 was the game changer for him, because he'd not quite got into the round.
No.
But that was a big moment on 10, that eagle. It brought him back within one. And then down the stretch, he played the best golf of any of them by a long way, in my opinion.
He did, but they'd started well, and it's hard to sustain what Stenson and Mickelson and Fowler were doing early on. They ran out of steam slightly, which does happen, doesn't it? It's 18 holes. You can't birdie them all. And Rory had a few birdies up his sleeve, didn't he, really? He had a few an advantage to that regard. He was actually a little bit lucky on the last, wasn't he? He could easily have gone in the water on the last, in the dark, in what were somewhat farcical scenes with...
play through.
What on earth was going on there? But thankfully it meant that the event could be finished and we could all get to bed at...
3 in the morning.
Whatever it was at this time. It wasn't that late, was it? It was quarter to 2, was it, or something?
It was after 2 o'clock, I think, when they finished.
Dearly
and then
me.
The presentation continued till after 3 o'clock.
But it was great, wasn't it? It was fantastic stuff. So, he just... he's the best player in the world. We've been saying it for a little while. And interestingly enough, on the podcast at the back end of last year, our seasonal preview, I tipped him for two majors this year. The Masters and the Open were the two I picked. And he won the other two. But... fair play to him. He's the top man at the moment. They're all firing at him.
They are indeed. Let's move on to this.
Are you not mentioning Stenson and Mahan that got in the top 10 out of my three picks?
I knew I was going to miss something out. Stenson got full place for you, and Mahan tied. I mean, you had a a belting week, really did.
Three in the top seven was nice. Stenson played great, he really did. Putted really well, you know.
Yeah. He was second in strokes game putting for the week, wasn't he? Just behind McIlroy.
He'd be kicking himself, he could have won. And Mahan was top for greens in regulation, played brilliantly. Apart from was only 300 on the par five, so lost six or seven shots to the field, to the top players on the par fives.
Yeah.
Inexplicably wasn't going for the green in two enough. I don't know what he was doing. He should have been easily placed given his tee to green play. But yeah, all very good. And the most important thing of the lot is that Stenson beat Graham McDowell and I won a free lunch.
You did indeed. You did indeed. Quick word on Ricky Fowler as well. Top five in all four major championships. Impressive from him. Became only the third player ever to do that in a season. The other two, Nicklaus and Woods, so in good company.
Yeah, and he's getting better and better, but he's very short in the market these days. But once again, played really well and really made a challenge on the final night. And it'll be fascinating now to see how he does in the next major, but more importantly, can Rory win the major? The one that I think he should win every time he turns up these days is Augusta, but he hasn't managed to do it yet. I suspect he'll win in April.
Yeah, possibly so. He's only 6 to, I was looking at the specials on the website now, McIlroy specials. He's only 6-1 to break Nicklaus's record, which is a long way away.
It's a long way to
go. You've got to stay fit. Yeah, you've got to stay focused for another 20 years.
It's hard, as Tiger has proven to. You know, we've already seen Rory have a major blip in it last year, didn't we? So and not major as in winning them, but you know, a kind of serious blip. So anything can happen and get injured. It's a long, long way to go. There are better 6-1 bets than that. He was 5-1 to win last week.
Yep.
He should never have been 5-1. He was a 2-1 shot, wasn't he?
Let's have a look at this week's events then. We'll start off with the tournament on the European Tour. Good to see a tournament in Denmark, a new tournament in mainland Europe, and it's a big week for the host course, the Back Tee course at Himmerland Golf and Spa Resort, and it hosts this tournament that's been called the Made in Denmark tournament. I think they're doing that to hopefully get a sponsor on board, so they want to showcase what the country's all about. And Thomas Bjorn is the 12-1 favourite for the event. Torbjörn Olsson is 20s. Kristoffer Broberg is in the betting at 22s. Anders Hansen is 25-1. Chris Wood, 25-1. Mark Warren and Simon Dyson, both 28s. And it's 33s and bigger the rest. The golf course, a par 71 measuring 7,033 yards. And it was reopened in 2012 after a redesign. It only actually officially opened again in April 2013. It's a very exposed golf course from what I've seen of the venue. And even though I think from what the course superintendent has said, he thinks accuracy might prevail this week. I've looked at the layout and I think bombers are going to be able to have a field day around here. It looks really exposed, not much rough to mention, but it is pretty tough for punters because it is a pretty much a completely new venue this week, Mike.
Yes, it's a tricky one to. You couldn't go all ends up, could you, in this one? I know a lot of people will go for Danish players who might have played here. It's more tricky. Yeah. More tricky, isn't it, than that? It's more tricky than usual. You've got to see how the course plays. And then maybe I'm having one pre-tournament bet. I may, in fact, I will have a good look at the tournament and see if I can add to that in play, just like you didn't do last week.
I knew you were going to have a Twitter bet.
I'll have a Twitter bet, and the nation's gold punters are waiting. Till 3 o'clock on Sunday morning, and still didn't get one.
You know what? I was very keen on McIlroy, but could never get involved at the price. Maybe after 9 holes on Sunday, that's when I should have pulled the trigger. But I was convinced, as I did mention on Twitter, when you were talking about the event, I thought McIlroy would win after those first two rounds, and he was just always a little bit on the short side, wasn't he? He was always floating around about even money. I'm not there to advise people to have a bet on McIlroy at even money when he's winning the championship by a couple of strokes overnight.
It wouldn't have been a bad move, though.
It wouldn't have been a bad move in hindsight.
No, you've got to get away from this. People got to get away from this idea that 5-1 is a bad price always, because not a value price. And I know you don't think that, but you know, you could argue that I think at some point during the tournament he was 11-8, was it, with two rounds to go or something like that. He just never looked like being beat, really, did he? Until a couple of holes on the Sunday. But yep. he's just that good these days at bouncing back.
Well, he touched 5-1 in play on Sunday.
Yeah,
he was 3 behind at the turn, admittedly, before that 10th hole changed.
But he had the attempt to play.
The course of events. I'm with you in terms of not getting heavily involved in this tournament until we see the layout, and it might be a tournament that hopefully grows in stature, because we've mentioned on numerous occasions on the podcast there aren't enough mainland European tour events,
and
this is another one right now. I want the image of the European tour to be boosted over the next few seasons, and hopefully we'll have more top class players participating in this type of event.
Yeah.
I've got two picks, though.
Go on, you go first.
I've got two picks. I'm going with Nicholas Kolsarts as my headline selection at 40-1. Nicholas Kolsarts. It is really a speculative bet because he's in poor form this season, without a doubt. You look back through his record; it's disappointing, but it's worth having a small bet on him this week because he's been working with his coach, Mick Van Mabeek, and apparently...
What, you're putting him up because he's been working with his coach? Don't they all do that?
On his putting, especially.
Oh, on his putting.
On his putting,
sorry,
especially,
right.
Over the last month. That's the area of his game that has really suffered recently. Tiger might be better not working with his coach, by the way. It's easy to forget that he was on the... Scathing. Easy to forget that he was on the Ryder Cup team in Medina. Just a couple of years ago, he's fallen from grace somewhat, but it's the start of a 4-week run on tour for Kolsarts. I'm hoping he's going to be back at his best this week. He does need to rediscover that top form. It's difficult to believe that he's tied second in Malaysia. He's really the only decent result he's had all season, Nicholas Kolsarts. I'm hoping that he's been working very hard on his game. His putting will be better, and he'll take to this course, which I think will suit the big hitters. So I'm going with Nicholas Kolsarts, who, let's face it, 40-1 in this field. If he was in any sort of form, he'd be almost favourite, wouldn't he, in this field?
Yes, he would. He's at his best. He's probably... Let's have a look. Is he the best player in the field? Him or Bjorn, probably, aren't they? Would be the best at their best,
yep,
on what we've seen so far. Like you do, I couldn't be absolutely bullish about anyone, but I'm going to give Emiliano Grillo a go in this event. Just a player who I like. Played a couple of good events so far this year. Was top 10 at the BMW International in June there. A couple of moderate outings since then. He missed the cut in both France and the Scottish. But probably courses that might not have been entirely suited to him. Just hoping that he hits it nicely, gets it out there, pretty good greens in regulation numbers. And I was surprised to see him at 80-1 in this field, because it's not a stellar field by any manner of means, isn't it? So
no.
I'm just hoping that a guy who was good enough to finish second in the Dubai Desert Classic, fifth in Africa, 15th in the Spanish Open and top 10 in the BMW International could have a good run. Give us a good run at 80-1. So I'll have a point each way on him. Not a massive amount of science on it apart from that. Just the fact that I think he is a winner in waiting on the European Tour. I think he's a really talented lad, this. And hopefully he can make the breakthrough this week.
I'm going with an Argentine as well. Ricardo Gonzalez is my second pick here at 100-1. Just a half a point each way on Ricardo Gonzalez. A player that hasn't produced anything like his best this season, but there was more to like about his last performance in the Scottish Open. He tied 16th there and, interestingly, putted much better than he has done throughout the year. I'm hoping he can show that form again with the putter this week, and he shouldn't be punished too much given how wayward he has been from the tee this season. If he can replicate the form he showed in Scotland and in Ireland as well,
yep,
not too long ago, he has a chance to spring a surprise at a big price. He's not won for 4 years, but he does have 4 European Tour wins to his name. So I'll go Ricardo Gonzalez at 100-1 and play him half a point each way as my other pick there. A
couple of sporting bets there on Argentinians, Dave, eh?
Yeah, and I think we've both gone big hitters, really.
Yes.
Griot's known for his distance off the tee. Kolsarts, yes, and Gonzalez, definitely both known for their distance off the tee as well.
I'm willing to review that strategy as the tournament begins, as you said earlier. But no, for now, that'll stand us in good stead. And Griot, I'm certain he'll win a tour event before long.
Who else do you like in the
I was looking at the likes of my old favourite Gregory Bourdais. He could go well. Possibly Maximilian Kiefer, who's another one that I've got noted down for a win at some point. And at a very, very big price, maybe Frederik Andersen Head, who just shown a little bit of form at last.
Yeah, I've got a couple on my, a few on my list. Mark Warren, I think, was the best of those at the top of the betting, but can't really be trusted. But he's in good form, 28
to
1.
He scuppered your top Scott bet, didn't he?
He did. He was annoying, Mark Warren, last week. Peter Uihlein.
No.
He's going to come back eventually, isn't he, Peter Uihlein?
He's playing dreadful.
He is playing dreadfully, but he's a top quality player.
Can we have the free lunch bet on him?
No. I mean, Kolsarts is playing almost as badly. 100 to 1, Peter Uihlein.
Sure he is. But Uihlein's great, but he's
lost his way, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, he has.
He
wants to arrest that and arrest it soon.
And the Dutchman, Dan Huizing, as well. He's playing some really good golf recently. He tied 12th at the Open d'Espagne and last time out in Russia. 80 to 1 was just a little bit on the short side for Dan Huizing.
No David Lipsky, then?
No David Lipsky.
He's playing, though, isn't he?
He is playing 125 to 1. Interesting to see how he goes.
It will be, yeah, yeah. It's just a very open event. Could be great. Let's see.
I hope it is. I hope it's a good golf course, and I hope it encourages people to play in mainland Europe again, because I want to see a better field than that in future.
Yeah, the European
events.
Tour needs some more good events in mainland Europe.
Definitely.
Yeah, otherwise it's a.
The PGA Championship, though, that goes from strength to strength at the moment, and we've got the Wyndham Championship, this week's event, and Brant Snedeker is the 14-1 favourite. Webb Simpson is 18-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 20s. Patrick Reed in the betting at 20-1 as well. Bill Haas is 22s. Ernie Els and Tim Clark, both 28s, and it's 33s and bigger the remainder. This event is a staple on the PGA Tour, and one that has a big influence, Mike, on the FedEx Cup playoffs. It's the last opportunity for those on the brink to qualify for the top 125.
Yeah.
Not only to get in the FedEx Cup, but also to secure, for some of them, playing privileges for 2014 and 2015. It's a big week for a lot of players on the cusp, isn't it?
It is a big week, Dave. Yes, it is. And that makes it an interesting event. It's not the top line field that it was last week, obviously, but there were some good players who've turned up. And it's a fascinating, always a Wyndham, an event I like.
Yeah, an event I really like as well. It's a Donald Ross design, Sedgefield Country Club. It's the host venue for the championship for the seventh straight season.
Yep.
And traditionally, it's been a pushover, but that's changed with the change of the greens, hasn't it?
Yes.
Somewhat in the last 2 years. Back in 2008, Carl Peterson posted a winning total of 21 under par.
Yep.
Last 2 years, though, Sergio Garcia only posted 18 under, and last year it played even tougher. And Patrick Reed won with a 14 under par total coming through that playoff against Jordan Spieth.
Still double digits, mind you. Yeah. By the way, 1600 is too low to win a PGA Championship, isn't it? Par fives are too easy at Valhalla.
Would you rather have seen it playing a bit more difficult?
A little bit more, yeah, I would. Yeah, but this week, I hear what you're saying. It's getting a little bit tougher, but you'd still expect 1400-1500 to win. You've got to hold your putts, haven't you? Here,
I think so. Yeah, distance not exactly a prerequisite around this venue. It only measures 7,127 yards. It is important to have a strong week with the putter. Important to find greens in regulation as well.
Definitely, definitely. A bit of accuracy off the tee and then greens in regulation, I think. Don't think distance is hugely important. It's not prohibitive, obviously, and it's not if you're a bomber you can't win, but it's, the greens, hitting the greens in the right number and putting well, I think, are important this week.
Two picks for me.
Shall I go first?
Yeah, you lead off.
Chad Campbell is my first pick, Dave. A guy who's been in much improved form, former Ryder Cupper of y'all. But in these three of his last five events, he's finished in the top 15. He was 7th at the Travelers, 13th in the John Deere, and 14th in the Barracuda, that Stableford event. Around those, mind you, he did miss a couple of cuts in the Greenbrier and Canada. So he's a slightly speculative pick. But I do think that Chad Campbell is coming back to something like his best form. Leads the tour on greens in regulation, would you believe? Very accurate off the tee also. And for that reason, I'm willing to give him a chance. Is he still 66-1?
He is, yes.
Yeah. At 66-1, he just catches my eye. He's 12th in proximity to the hole on tour as well, which is could be a key start this week, that one. Hitting it not just on the green but somewhere where he can make putts will be very useful. He needs his birdie average scores not great, so he needs to keep it close and put a little bit better than he has been doing. That will be the chink in his armour, his putting at the moment. But a good player at his best, hasn't shown it for a while. Let's hope Chad Campbell can run well this week.
Yeah, I've gone with him.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, I thought there was a little smile.
Yeah, I kept quiet afterwards.
I didn't know whether you had some indigestion or something, but a little flicker across your face.
Big week for him as well. 147th in the FedEx Cup race.
Yes.
So needs to perform well this week. I can't really elaborate on anything you've summed it up to an absolute T. It does stand out the number one in greens in regulation, which yes. I think is key here. That tied fourth here in 2012, a big pointer as well. He ranked top in greens in regulation that week.
Yeah.
So I think Chad Campbell's solid this week. I thought 66ers was a good price, and willing to go a point each way and join you.
Yeah, I think so. And let's just hope he's got the form of the three top finishes rather than the two missed cuts in his last five. He's got to put well though. That's his key. But Teeves a very good player and. Went close in a Masters, didn't he, Chad Campbell?
Yeah, he did. He did, way back when.
Well, it's me again then now, isn't it? Well, if I say the name John Hurt, well, you have picked him as well, have you?
I've not picked him.
All right, then we're on safe ground. John Hurt is my second pick, Dave. A guy who, similar in a lot of ways to Chad Campbell, can plot his way around a golf course. He might be able to plot his way around a race course.
That'd be good,
well.
Wouldn't it?
He'd be quite useful, wouldn't it?
He's quite slender, isn't he? He could maybe make a jockey.
Yeah, I like the sound of that. Wonder what he's like.
Not
over
sure
jumps.
How tall he is.
What would he be like at jump racing?
Banger. Sending around Banger, that'd be a real education.
A plotter, really. He's not a long hitter, particularly. Quite accurate. And in truth, has missed four of his last five cuts. So there is a little bit of a risk in going for this fella, I have to say. But he was, on his last outing here, last year, third, and the year before, 19th. Missed four of his last five cuts, but did finish third in the Barracuda with a very, very... laudable 37 points attained there, which was much more like it. You can forgive his PGA miscut, Dave, because he only got in, didn't he, in the last morning. I forget who pulled out, but he got in very late, didn't
yes.
he? He was kind of there as a reserve and got a late call-up. But I think this is a guy who's been tied third twice this year on tour. He's won on tour already. Decent form at the track, two top 20s. It's similar to Chad Campbell, and I do think this is a course where it does help if you can, if you've played well here before. I think experience counts. So, yeah, I'm looking for his accurate game to come to the fore once again, and hopefully see if he can get in the mix.
Yeah, it's always surprising, isn't it, to look through John Hurt's record this season. You expect someone with John Hurt's game to be making cuts week in, week out, don't you?
He's been very inconsistent, hasn't he?
Iron play maybe not being good enough. Those greens and reg stats. Not as hot as you would expect.
No, he's been really accurate off the tee, but he's 103rd on tour for greens in regulation, which nearly put me off because his putting isn't fantastic either. But he does tend to play well at the same courses. He's
yes.
one of those sort of players, so you've got to keep him in mind for those events. It's not a great field. 66-1 gives him a bit of a chance. So I'm hoping that he can elevate his game. The Barracuda, he really looked like he could be back to form. You know, somewhere you've got to score. I mean, he did that in no uncertain terms. So, forgive his PGA miscut. I was really encouraged by that score up in Reno there. So, let's hope he can kick on. And I think he's got a big chance this week.
My headline pick is Nick Watney here.
Yeah.
I've gone with Nick Watney at 40-1. I think the price is nice on Nick Watney.
Yeah.
He likes Donald Ross courses as well. He won at Aronimink in 2011. And a lot of Donald Ross designs, they are similar to one another. where you've got to plot your way around a little bit. I think driving accuracy, as we've mentioned earlier, definitely more important than distance here. Definite signs of a re-emergence as far as Nick Watney is concerned. Impressive performance in the points event that you've referenced in Reno recently, and in Canada played well before a respectable tie for 33rd in the PGA Championship. Also, he started to putt better as well, Nick Watney. That's really hurt him this season.
Yeah.
He's going to give himself a lot of chances this week, in my opinion, because he drove the ball incredibly impressively in that performance in Reno recently. Long and straight in Nevada, set up a load of birdie chances that week. If the putter behaves, it is a big if for Nick Watney. If he puts well this week, I see him definitely contending. And I think 40-1 is big. He's left it too late, I think, in terms of looking to get a pick for the Ryder Cup.
No chance.
He's got no chance of
that.
He'd
have to win his next three, wouldn't he?
He'd have to win here. I think it's a few weeks until Watson makes his pick. If he wins here and can get into that...
He'd need a Rory-like run, though,
he would need a good run. He'd need to win a couple of times, probably, Nick Watney, to get a pick. But look through that American side at the moment. I know we'll come on to the Ryder Cup in a few weeks, Mike. Mm. But Europe could rout these boys.
Ooh, early days to say that.
Tiger's early days.
Duffner's injured. Dustin Johnson's having a sabbatical.
Yeah. They've lost a lot of their big names, and these players that were playing really well earlier on in the season, maybe exclude Patrick Reed and Keegan Bradley from that conversation. But these players that were playing really well, players like Brendan Todd and Jimmy Walker. Jimmy Walker's in. Have eased off slightly.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Mickelson, though, bounced back to form, didn't he? Yeah. Fowler's playing well. We'll see.
Fjordic's played well all season.
Yes, he has. Oh, he did amazingly in the PGA, didn't he?
Considering how short he is off the tee.
And
that leaderboard was littered with big hitters at the week's end. And he was another top 10 for Jim Furyk. Just a top 10 machine this season.
Yeah, tremendous effort given his distance off the tee, which clearly was a factor once again in a major this season. So, yeah, well done, Jimmy. He deserved to get in the five.
He did indeed. So we'll come on to the Ryder Cup in due course. But Nick Watney anyway, 40-1 Nick Watney. I'll play him a point each way as my... he's my headline selection in this event.
Yeah, well, fair dues. So Campbell's your second then, yeah?
Yeah, and that's it. So we've both matched on Campbell. You're with John Hurt. I'm with Nick Watney. Who came closest, apart from the names we've mentioned?
There was three or four that came closest. Bud Cawley, showing signs of return to form, and managed to finish third here in 2012. Freddie Jakobsen, but probably doesn't hit enough greens in regulation, but puts like a dream was on my mind slightly.
Yeah.
Carl Pettersson is a previous winner here and from the Carolina, lives in Carolina area. Those were on my mind. David Toms also, but he had a back injury a couple of weeks ago, so I left him out. Those were some big price guys. The market leaders just didn't appeal to me at all.
No, I agree. I think they're all too short.
They're all way too short.
Webb Simpson's 18-1. He's probably the most likely from those at the head of the betting, given that he's had four starts here and not finished worse than 22nd. But he's not in the sort of form that I want to see when I'm looking to back an 18-1 shot.
Absolutely. Look, they can all win, these guys that we're about to mention, but he's short at that Simpson. He's very up and down this season. You don't know what he's going to shoot, 78 or 68 when he goes on the course, so I can leave him at 18-1. He can easily win, obviously. Snedeker is coming back into form, I would say. I'd probably think he's got a better chance than Simpson. I think he's the justified favourite, personally. Matsuyama, 20-1. Masses of ability, but blooming hell, that's short, isn't it?
Looks 20-1. Same applies to Patrick Reed, I think.
He won here last year. Yep. Bill Haas, 22s. What's Bill done to the 22-1?
I don't know.
I can't wear that one.
You can't even pick him this week at 22-1.
I didn't do the prices, I promise you.
Yeah,
it looks like it.
It does look a little bit too short on Bill Haas this week.
And Ernie Els, 28-1. No, thank you.
No. The guys that were closest as far as I was concerned, I quite like Tommy Gainey around here. But he's 100-1. I wanted bigger on Tommy Gainey.
Is that all he is?
He's only 100-1 in the field, which is short.
He must have been playing better than I thought he was.
He's not playing badly. A guy that I'm really interested in, picked him in Canada while you were away, Mike. He's played on the Champions Tour this season. Joe Durant, look at his form. It's fantastic. He almost grabbed a place in Canada, dropped out of the places late on. He was 150-1 on that occasion. He finished 12th here in 2010 and 2011. Most accurate driver in the field, Joe Durant. This is a nice setup for him, with it being a shorter golf course than usual on the PGA Tour. He puts abysmally. He does put badly, Joe Durant, and that's what puts me off at and the price at 80-1. But I think he'll play well again. I think he's one of those that you can look at top 10 and top 20.
Yeah, no, good call. Top 10, top 20. Yeah, I was just about to say. I think this is his last PGA Tour event, you know.
Is this the last one he's ever playing
I think he's announced he's not going to play on the... He's just going to play Champions Tour from now on. So he'll be certainly giving it his all. He does like the track, doesn't he?
He's going to make a few quid on that Champions Tour.
Yeah, he's decent. There's a lot of good players on the Champions Tour, Dave, as I keep telling you.
Yeah.
Kenny Perry, once again, played very well in the PGA and... showed how good the seniors can be.
Indeed. Just looking through the picks this week, I don't think we've got a free lunch bet unless you want to go...
I like the U-line angle that you were pushing a bit early, Dave, if you want to go on with that.
I'd go head-to-head with the Argentines.
Grillo and Gonzalez. Oh, yeah, go on then, why not? We're guessing a little bit, aren't we?
We have a little bit, I suppose.
That'd be interesting to see. You know, we've heard decent things about the course, so it'd be interesting to see what it looks like and who prospers there. I like Grillo though. I think he's a good player.
Okay, Grillo versus Gonzalez for the...
you picked both players.
I did, but I think they're the only two... In all honesty, I'm not trying to railroad you on this particular occasion. Usually I am.
We couldn't go her versus Watney, could we?
We've not got another one, have we?
No, we haven't.
Because I've gone with Cole Sarch. You've just got the one pick in...
Yeah.
In Denmark, so I think this is the obvious one. The two Argentines going out.
I'm on a winning run now, so I'm happy enough.
Yeah, precisely. Let's recap the picks then, and then a bit of housekeeping before we end the podcast.
Emiliano Grillo, point each way at 80-1 in the Made in Denmark event.
I'm going with a point each way Nicholas Kolsarts at 40s and half a point each way Ricardo Gonzalez at 100-1 in Denmark.
Mine's actually a shorter price. Oh, that's the result.
Yeah,
you've given me a little bit.
I've given you a little bit.
And in the
Wyndham last week as well.
You did, which proved profitable. In the Wyndham Championship, I've gone a point each way on both these guys, both 66-1. Chad Campbell and John Hur.
I'm going a point each way Nick Watney at 40s. Point each way Chad Campbell at 66-1. Remember, if you do want to follow us on Twitter, you can do. The Twitter handle at D Kellner for myself and at M Grennan for Mike. And remember to check out Golf Twitter Tipster as well, at Golf Twit Tipster. It's been good, and I'm looking forward to the FedEx Cup playoffs. Another opportunity for Rory to nick a few more quid.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what price he is for that next event, won't it?
Will he play in the first one? Because some of the top players, they have the opportunity, because they're so high up the FedEx Cup race, to skip one, don't they?
Yeah. Which is the first one, Dave?
The Barclays, I believe.
I think he is playing in that, but don't quote me on that. But I think, finally maybe some Sundays might mean that he becomes slightly unbackable for some time now, Rory. I think he will probably be down to the 5-2, 3-1 prices, won't he, for the bigger events, even shorter potentially. Mm. He's won three on the trot, which is
good fields, I suppose. That might keep his price up.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I don't know. I wouldn't be expecting very big prices, though, would you?
No, I wouldn't either. It's going to be interesting this close season, because obviously the Watson's got to start thinking about making those picks for the Ryder Cup. Keegan Bradley's the only one that looks like a real shoo-in. The other two places up for grabs. I actually expect Tiger Woods to play. I think he's going to be in that Ryder Cup team, but we'll see.
Interesting to see. Tiger just needs to get himself fit, doesn't he?
He does. Hopefully he'll do so. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast this week. Myself and Mike will be back for the first event of the FedEx Cup Series, the Barclays, from Ridgewood next week. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast this week, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.